Okay, everyone mutate. Mutate. Here we go.
Right. Mute.
Okay, let's learn over here. That's from Mechol. Man, that's the Mechol's joke. Okay, Pasuk Perigud. We have the Perigud, Pasuk Aleph. Yesterday we do over here Pasuk Aleph, Pasuk Beis, Pasuk. Just two psukim. Now we learned yesterday the Mitzvah is David. Today let's learn Rashi. Rashi says, Shalu me Hashem Motar. Ask Hashem Motar im titztarchu. What does that mean? If you need it. What do you mean if you need it? Im titztarchu. Of course you need it. What does that mean over here? What's Pshat? I'm not really sure what this means. Why does Rashi say im titztarchu? If you will need rain. Chazizim. What a chazizim? Rashi says, Anonim mivim matar. The word chaziz is clouds which bring rain. Le'ish esev basade b'shvil ish echad u'b'shvil esev echad hatzadich l'matar. This is an incredible Rashi. Rashi over here says that. What's the purpose of the rain? On behalf of a single person, or even on behalf a single blade of grass that needs rain. Even on behalf of one single blade of grass that needs water, be mispalel to Hashem to send clouds to provide it with matar. Isn't it amazing? Pasuk Beis, ki atrafim v'hakoismim chasu sheker v'chalamos asher hitu es avosehem. The terafim and the diviners who have seen sheker, the dreamers, asher hitu es avosehem, who have misled your ancestors, lemar chalamti, as it says for Yirmiyah, they said we have dreams telling you about the future. When they would strengthen themselves to rebel against Hashem through their false dreams, they would attempt to persuade the Jewish people to rebel. Dibru aven vehevel nichamu. Leimar shalom v'ein shalom. These were psukim alkei nosu. That's why they fled. They went into exile. Avol ani navi lochem be'emes. Zechariah says, I am the real navi. I am a navi emes. They were navi sheker. Yanu yiskanu. They will be humbled. Humbled kmo leonos mi ponoi, to be humbled before me. Lashon oini. Oini means Yiskanu, means humiliation.
Yeah. Or in other words, no amnesty for the dreamers.
No amnesty for the dreamers. Okay, very good. Bring it into 21st century terminology. Let's take a look at the Radak. Radak pas perigyud shalu bizman hahu im tishalu me Hashem yisprach motor beis malkoish Hashem oisech azizim. During those times, those glorious days, Radak, I am assuming, is going l'shitosai. Radak l'shitosai learns, we're referring over here to, I guess, Yimas HaMashiach. And if they will make a request for rain, at that time, if you will ask from Hashem, Matar, at the time of Malkoish, Hashem will provide Chazizim, Miyod. Now, we mentioned this in the Mitzvah of it yesterday. The request over here is to ask for Matar at the time of Malkoish. The mitzvah is davening. Now we know when we say Kriya Shema, there are two terms. There's Yoireh u'Malkoish. Yoireh is the early rain. Malkoish is the late rain. The mitzvah is davening yesterday seemed to say that it's much more difficult it's much less likely to rain in the Malkoish. There's a greater need for Siyata Deshmaya, that rain descend in the late season. That's what he said. He said that it's a time of the year when it doesn't rain that much, and you're going to have to make a request. Go back to the Mitzudas David, who learned yesterday. Shalu, it's the third line of the Mitzudas, the Mitzudas David, on page 806, in the Mitzudas David, he said, let's go back, Ki'ilu yom al b'nei hador ha'hu, bochanu hadavar, test Hashem, why does the pasuk emphasize the malkoish, the late season? Okay, let's carefully what he says. There's a great need in the end of the season. Hashem will answer you. Im, here are the key words. Im ki lo yoyre hateva aleihem. What does that mean exactly? Even though, im ki lo yoyre hateva aleihem, the teva, nature, is not in your favor. It's not in your favor, yet, don't worry, be mispalo to Hashem, and He will provide why, and He will provide mat. Why is it not in your favor? Why is the Malkosh season not a time when it rains? That's exactly what the word Malkosh means. It means the late rain season. It's not so clear what the Mitzudah stuff means, but there's definitely something important to take note of. That the Pasuk says, Isk Hashem Motar, at the time of Malkosh. What does it mean, the time of Malkosh? Why is that a special time to ask for rain?
There was no rain the whole time. There was no, it was a drought.
Drought. And even
the Malkosh didn't come.
The Yura didn't come, right?
Rain. They asked for the first rain.
Okay, so he's saying that in a situation where it did not rain early in the Yura season, then it's very unlikely, al derech teva, for it to rain in the Malkosh. So now for it to first start training, when you want to play catch up, I guess we have to speak to scientists to explain this to us, if they even know themselves how this works. And that's what the Mitzudah stuff is seeming to say, that it has not rained until now. It's very unlikely it's going to get any better. Yet, I'm challenging you.
When they say Yatsa Nisan, they are not allowed to do the Samot and the Bakashot.
It's too late.
They don't do that anymore.
It's too late. It's Naal Derech HaTeva. It's Naal Derech HaTeva anymore. It's not natural.
Sometimes they need water. Not for the field, but they need water.
Yeah.
So, Im Titzdarchu. That's why they said.
Im Titzdarchu, if you will still need. That's interesting. You're trying to explain why Rashi says the Ish Malkosh, because Malkosh. It's typically a time when you don't need water. So im yitzdarchu, if you will need water. It's a very bizarre Rashi. Why does Rashi say if you'll need? What do you mean if you? Of course you need. Obviously the answer lies in the term malkosh. Okay, we say kriya shema. V'nasati mitar artzchem bi'ito. In its right time, yoyreh u'malkosh. Yoyreh is the early season. Malkosh is the late season. Here in this pasuk it says, ask from Hashem, test Hashem, ask for Him rain in the late season. What does that mean? Why are we mentioning the word Malkosh? Ask for Hashem rain in the early season and in the late season. What is going on over here? Obviously, Rashi and all the Mefarshim, they're struggling. Rashi says, as Rav Kalman pointed out, if you'll need it. I guess the fact that it says the Malkosh is typically not a time, if it rained in the early season, then you don't need rain in the late season.
Yeah, but isn't Rashi speaking of individuals as opposed to the klal? That's what he says in the next
That's
breath.
The second part of the pasuk. Yeah, oh, okay, okay. So he's saying that...
Together, not everyone needs rain. He said, so if a specific individual or a few individuals need rain, they can still get it.
Okay. It's still strange, okay?
If you live in the city, you need rain just to drink. And if you live in a farm...
You need a lot of rain to water the fields.
It's too late already. It's not good. It destroys whatever good.
Okay, let's see how the Radak learns. Okay, there's something going on over here. Maybe we'll become more cloudy when we'll see more Mefarshim. So the Radak learns on page 807, he says, Shalu bizmanahu im tishalu me Hashem yisprach mota beishma yish malkois, Hashem yisrach chazizim. Miyad yishma tefilasam. Hashem will listen to your prayers. V'yasu chazizim. Hashem will send clouds. V'yitein motar. V'ha chazizim yiyu im hamotar. The clouds come together with rain. V'chein omar v'derech lachaziz koilois. It is the derech of the chaziz, the clouds to be accompanied by sound. Thunder. Though that's the lightning. The lightning which flashes. Lightning comes before thunder. The sound of light is faster than the sound of the speed of light is faster than the speed of sound. The sound that we hear after there's lightning is the sound of the lightning. It's just that we're able to see the lightning much sooner than we're able to hear sound. Einoi doime shmiya l'ri'ya. What does that mean? There are many, many perushim, but one of the perushim is the swiftness. Is that when someone says something and you listen, there is a delay. There is a delay until it gets to you. When someone shows you something, it's very swift. You see it immediately. You see the bolt of lightning immediately, but you don't hear its sound until much later. Shmiya, what does shmiya mean? Shmiya means comprehension. Sound is just a dogma, is just a metaphor for understanding. For example, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. What does it mean, Shema? It means to listen. It means a lot more than that. It means to comprehend, to absorb the message. What's the Musa Haskel? In life, you see things. Events occur. You have no understanding as to why this happened. But as time passes, you later in life, you come to understand what you saw. Right? The events occur in life, and why did this happen? It can take decades. It can take generations until we're able to look back in hindsight and have an appreciation and understanding of why this event indeed occurred. Every time you see lightning and thunder, Hashem is presenting you with that message. He is showing you something, but it's not letting you hear it. You have to wait. You have to wait, I think, 8 seconds. You have to wait a period of time until you hear it. The speed of light is swifter than the speed of sound. So every time you see lightning and you hear thunder, and there's a delay, it's the same event. It's exactly the same event. But you see it immediately, but you only hear it later. This is a dogma for this world. This is a dogma for this world. You make the bracha. First you make the bracha of Oisei Maisei Bereishis. And then, when you hear the sound, Shekoichoi Ugvurosoi Molei Oilam. Is that the correct nusach? That's what is that bracha? That's understanding what you've seen in hindsight, retroactively. Things happen in this world, but the appreciation, the Shema, as in Shema Yisrael, comprehend, that takes time, takes years. Takes decades, takes lifetimes to comprehend the events that were presented to the world for the world to see. And here he's coming to dwell upon that. He's saying over here, he's, for some reason, the Radak is coming to dwell upon this principle. And he says that there are bolts of lightning. It seems what he's saying over here, when the Derech Lachaziz Koilois, the derech of the chaziz is called, so it could be that he's coming to disagree, who migizras chazay. Okay, so it would appear it's that he does disagree, and he's going to quote the other opinion in a moment, that Radak disagrees with the Mitzudas David and with Rashi. And he understands, at least according to his first interpretation, the word chaziz means lightning. Lightning, it does not mean a cloud. Until now we learned in Pasuk Yud, Shalu Me Hashem Motor Be'is Malkash. Pray, test Hashem. Go ahead, try it. Test Hashem. And Hashem will listen. What will Hashem do? Hashem Oiseh Chazizim Umitar Geshem Yitein Lohem. According to Rashi and the Mitzudas, this means Hashem will dispatch clouds. And in the clouds there is water. And the water will release its cargo, will release its payload, and will drop on the earth the matar that you've asked for. The clouds are nothing more than the modern day drone, Prime, Amazon Prime drone. You order something online, you want a gadget, you press a button, they charge your credit card, and right away from the factory is dispatched a drone. A drone goes to the factory, picks up your object, your desired object and takes flight, comes to your home and releases it. The drone is the cloud. According to the Radak, the word chaziz does not mean a cloud. The word chaziz means lightning, because rain is accompanied by lightning. And the reason why the word chaziz means lightning, because it comes from the Shosh of the word chazay, which means to see. You see the, you see these shots of light, and when you see these sparks of light, you will only later you will hear the sound.
Interesting that Targum says chazizim is ruchin.
Okay, we'll come to that in a moment. Okay, we'll come to the Targum in a moment. Let's first go to the Radak. Then he goes back and he's Rabbi Seinu Perizal Perishuk Kamoy Onon. He says no, it means a cloud. He says it means like what we said before. Cloud of Mashama be'is Malkush. Now he's coming to dwell upon the question of Yisrael. Why does it mention the Malkush? Shu amatar ha'acharon shu b'mei nisan kolayma afilu b'acharayna im yitzdarchu l'matar yitain lecha matar. Even at the end, even at the very, very end, you need more rain, he'll send you more rain. Which, ordinarily, when it comes to Nisan, that's not a time when it rains. I guess that's true. Malkush, when it comes to Nisan, chodesh, however, it doesn't rain. But if, whatever the reason is, you find yourself in the spring, at a time when it ordinarily does not rain in Eretz Yisrael, you need the rain. You need the rain. There's not enough water for drinking, or whatever the purpose is, then Hashem will provide you rain. All you need to do is be mispalel. The yigdal ho'esev mehera, and the grass will grow swiftly. U'metar ha'geshem, mismichus admas ofar. He's explaining why is it here, metar. Metar is with a patach, because it's samuch to the word geshem. Matit ha'yovein, over there, where it's a loymar, okay, he's over there. I'm not sure what he means by hayovein. I'm not sure what he means in that by quoting this pasuk in the Neil. Admas offer, we understand. Admas means it's admas. There's a patach underneath the mem. It's admas and with a suf as well, because it's samuch to the word afar. And then he quotes another example of mitit hayovein. I don't know what I guess mitit means. We change the vowels in the word tit, or maybe in the word hayovein, in order that it should be samuch. I'm not sure what he means of it in the grammar of mitit hayovein. We are manipulating the words in order to acknowledge that these two words are not independent, but they are connected. Next, Hashem will give an abundance of blessed rain to those people that are living in those times. Next words in the Radak, Le'ish Esev Basodeh, to each individual and each grass in the field. So the Rashi told us the word Le'ish. Rashi said the word Ish is to be repeated. The word Ish refers to the individual. Each individual will receive what he needs, and each blade of grass. The word ish doesn't only mean a human being. The word ish means an individual, a single object. Okay? A single object. We typically use the word ish in reference to a human being. Ish Yehudi, Hoya B'Shushan HaBira. There was a person. There was a person in Shushan HaBira. He was a human being. Okay, but not necessarily. Ish means a single object. A blade of grass is called an ish because it's one blade of grass. A little kernel of grain is called an ish. It's a single object. So in this, when we learn Rashi, Rashi says the word ish over here is to reference to, it really means an individual. And Rashi said explicitly means an individual person and an individual blade of grass. The Radak is now explaining, to each one of them, Hashem will give grass in this field. Okay, in other words, he's not learning like Rashi. The Radak learns that the word ish refers to human beings. To each member of society, Hashem will give grass in his field. So the rain is not... It's not yitin lechem l'ish eseh basadeh. The rain that Hashem will dispatch will cause grass to grow on your head. I'm just joking. Will cause grass to grow. Grass doesn't grow on busy streets, Mark. Okay? Look who's talking over here. How much hair do I have? Grass doesn't grow. Hashem will send. Everyone will have nice hair in those days, right? This is the bracha. The bracha. Okay. Rav Lazy being us jealous here. But you want to make a drasha that in times of Mashiach, everyone will have beautiful hair, a full head of hair. Le'ish Eseh Basad, Hashem will dispatch rain, and the rain will cause the fields to blossom with grass. Okay, let's go for it. In some states, you know what they do? They paint the grass green. You ever see that? They actually do this in some states on certain highways. They don't want to give Maris Ayin that there's a drought in the country. You come out of the airport, they mamash do this. They have there was when it's a drought and it's white, it's gray, it's the grass is dead. They actually spray paint that whole area green that should look nice. The land of make believe. Just like people dye their hair. They dye their hair. They want to give an impression that they're much younger than they really are. There are certain states, certain cities, where they spend good, hard-earned tax money to dye the grass, to paint the grass green, to make it look nice. Let's go further. When the Jewish people do Hashem's will, Hashem reciprocates. If one person needs rain and no one else, for the next door neighbor, if it would rain, it would be damaging. It would be harmful. But for you, it would be a blessing. Hashem will dispatch with laser target, laser guided clouds to dispatch rain just for your lawn and not affect your next door neighbor. Yitain loy levadoi matar. Isn't that incredible? Your next door neighbor will not get rain because he does not need it. For him, it's not beneficial. But for you, you need it, you will get it. How could that possibly be? This is the ultimate custom hashkacha pratis. V'im yitztarech ish le'esev echad b'sodeyu oy begagoy matar. Let's say, let's go a step further. Let's say you have on your roof or on your lawn, there's one particular blade of grass that needs some more rain, but all of the other blades of grass do not need rain. Even that, even to such a degree of specificity, will Hashem dispatch the clouds to provide rain. Like one of the pious men said, "Hai meshara boy mitra," this plain. Okay, meishra means a field. This field needs rain. V'hai meishra loy boy mitra. Okay, so therefore, this is the makar of this chazal. It would appear that this is a very. You've heard this before. This chazal, this idea, where la'asalavai, Hashem will show to us unusual hashkacha paratis, with the emphasis on the word paratis. Every single person will get what he needs, and it will not affect his next door neighbor. Ordinarily, we live in a world where, you know, there's collateral damage. If Hashem is going to bring punishment to one person, there's collateral damage. Everyone in his vicinity is going to suffer. If Hashem brings blessing to one person, everyone in his vicinity also is blessed. Oy l'rasha, oy l'shcheinai. And toiv l'tzadik v'toiv l'shcheinai. Okay, that's a general principle. That Kadosh Baruch Hu, there is a lack of precision. In Golus, you cannot, it's one size fits all. Buy a mask, you know, you buy a mask, they were in different size masks. Yeah, you know, one size fits all. Children, adults, it's only one size fits all. Even now, you know, yeah, you can't go, some people they want to get a children, then they want a small mask. They don't, it's not so easy to get custom. You know, there's no such thing. You have to follow a uniform rule. The uniform, they have it very often in Chazal, where Chazal made a halacha, and even though the halacha is not applicable in many cases, that's the way it goes. One size fits all. For example, what's the classic case? Why do we observe Sveika D'Yoyma on Shavuos? Why? There's no Sveik of the Yom on Shavuos. Shavuos is always 50 days after the first day of Pesach. 50 days, the people who lived in the most distant regions from Yerushalayim, from the place where they were Mekadesh, the Chodesh, they were within range of discovering when Rosh Chodesh Nisan was, when Rosh Chodesh Nisan was. It's more than 50 days. It's 66 days. There's Rosh Chodesh Nisan. When was Rosh Chodesh Nisan? That determines when Pesach will be. That's 15 days later. So many people were not within a traveling area of 15 days to find out when the first day of Pesach is. So those people have to observe 2 days Pesach, Sveka de Yoima. And what about the end of Pesach? I guess the last day's Pesach is also, even though it's already 21 days, it's 21 days, it doesn't matter. They have to observe Sveka de Yoima. It's 21 days, 3 weeks. They still do not find out. But when it comes to the Yom Tov of Shavuos, it's already 66 days since Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Doesn't make a difference. Iyar and Sivan, Shavuos is 50 days after the first day Pesach. So why is it necessary to observe Sveika D'Yoyma on the Yom Tov of Shavuos? And the answer is one size fits all. Being that we must observe Sveika D'Yoyma for Pesach and we must observe Sveika D'Yoyma for Sukkos, if we're going to make an exception for Shavuos, then it's going to unravel. Then the common man will not sense the severity of observing the 2 days on Pesach and Sukkos. So in order to create uniformity, you have to just follow the rules. It may not be applicable to you, to this event, but you have to follow. It's a very general principle, everything in the halacha. And that's also a very basic thing in public health. If you talk to doctors, you talk to public health is a very big thing. Harvard has a massive program of what's called public health. They give a very prestigious degree, get a master's from Harvard Medical School in public health. I once went to a graduation in Boston for someone that I know who got an advanced degree in public health. And almost every single graduate in this thing was a foreigner, all over the world. It was a massive. And what are we coming to celebrate here? Public health. What in the world is public health? Okay, you tell me you become a doctor. Most of these people were already doctors. You can become a doctor. You spent 8 years, 4 years medical school, 4 years residency, and besides, the pre-med courses you took in college. I understand you go to a graduation. All right, it's what to celebrate becoming a doctor. But what is this thing called public health? Well, we've been listening to these recommendations of public health officials for the entire year. Unfortunately, many of them don't know what they're talking about. Chaval. But there is something called precautions and measures, techniques that are enacted and are advised for the entire population. And even though in many cases it does not apply to individuals, yechidim, many people can say, this does not apply to me, I don't need this, it's not for me. Who do you think you are? If one person is going to break, even though it's true, it doesn't apply to you, but if you're going to start breaking the rules, then everyone's going to break the rules, and then the people that it does apply for, they're going to be in a lot of trouble. There has to be uniformity. So that is a principle that we fully appreciate in this world, but what's interesting is that in the world, the way Hashem conducts the world is the same exact thing. When it rains, it can very well be only very few people really need this rain. And because they're deserving, all of the other people who do not need the rain will have to be inconvenienced because it's more important to get the rain to the people who need the rain. And if Hashem doesn't want to give rain to certain people for whatever reason, and in Hashem's eyes, those people, he must get the message out to those individuals, everyone else is going to have to suffer. The Gemara talks about the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol is Mispal Yom HaKippurim, that Hashem should not listen to the tefillah of the Oivrei Derachim. There are people that are traveling home, and it starts to rain, and they're very disappointed, because now the roads are muddy, and all of their produce is going to get ruined, whatever it is. So they say to Hashem, you can't do this to me. I don't have an umbrella. It has to stop raining right now. And these people, when they daven, Hashem is going to listen, because they will daven with sincerity relative to the people back home who are davening just with lip service. And Hashem will listen to these people. And what's going to happen? Everyone else is going to suffer. The whole world's going to suffer. The whole Eretz Yisrael is going to suffer because of a few people who are on the road and are inconvenienced, and are mispala with true sincerity to Hashem that they should not suffer this inconvenience. So what is it? So what the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippur has to counteract that prayer by being mispalel that Hashem should not listen to tefillah. Isn't that bizarre? Isn't that an amazing thing on Yom HaKippurim? Yom HaKippurim is a day of prayer. You would think on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol will pour out his heart to pray to Hashem. And you know what he's doing? He's spending valuable time praying to Hashem that he should not listen to prayer. Isn't that a contradiction to the essence of the day? Or maybe that is the spitz of the day. That is the highlight of the day. That there's a time to pray and there's a time not to pray. On Yom HaKippurim, you pray, and you pray to Hashem that he should not listen to the prayers. Because you don't really know what's good for you. You really don't know what's good for you. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yisou. Ma titzak elai? Ma titzak elai? What are you davening to me? Ma titzak elai? Now is not the time to daven. Now there are many peirushim. There are many peirushim in that pasuk. Rashi simply says, Ma titzak elai means you don't need to daven. It's in the bag. I've already decided I'm going to save you. There's no need to daven. But there are other perushim besides Rashi. And among those perushim is, don't daven because it's not good for you. If I'm going to listen to you, it's not to your benefit. What were they davening for? They were davening to go back to Mitzrayim. Hamibli ein kivorim b'mitzrayim l'kachton l'abus b'midbar. Mazoysa sisolani. So what do they want to do? They wanted to surrender. But, you know, if you surrender the wrong way, they'll wipe you out, they'll kill you all in one shot. The Egyptians are they're looking for blood. So what are they doing? We have to figure out a way to peacefully surrender where they will not torture us and they'll be willing to take us back home to Egypt and let us go back to our jobs, building peace in the Ramses and working for them. That's what they were davening for. They were davening for a peaceful surrender, not a slaughter. Hashem says, you know, this type of prayer, if you let them daven, you know, that's the way I made this world. Someone who davens to me, I listen to their prayer. I give them whatever they want. Be careful what you daven for. You might just get it. Daber el b'nei shel v'matitzak elai. This is not in your best interest to be mispalel to me now that you should go back to Egypt. This is not a good tefillah. Better don't daven. Don't daven. Don't make this request, and you'll find yourself in a big sakana. And I'll take care of you. If you're going to daven, you're going to daven for the wrong thing. It's not always good that you should have, and it's not always good that Hashem should listen to your prayers. On Yom HaKippur, which is the day, the spitz of tefillah, the highest tefillah of the Kohen, the greatest tefillah of the Kohen Gadol was, Hashem, don't listen to the prayers. Don't listen. We don't want you to listen. There are going to be people out there that are going to be davening that it should not rain. Don't listen. Don't listen to the prayers. Because it's not a good prayer. It's not in our best interest in the big picture of things that you should answer that prayer. You don't really know what's good for you. So you daven, and you daven that Hashem should not accept your prayer if it's really not in your best interest. There's a benefit in davening. The act of davening itself is extremely, the exercise of prayer is what brings you close to Hashem, but it's not necessarily good that you should get the results that you want. That was Yom Kippur, that was the spitz of Yom Kippur, and that was the moment of truth of Ma Titzak Eilai. Okay, there are many perushim. The Pshuta Shel Mikra is, you don't need to daven. Proceed. It's already, your tefillos are already answered. But there are other perushim. Now here, we're touching upon this idea, that La'asa Lavai.
I think that Ma Matis Akelai is like, ma, like va'anachnu ma, we are nothing. So hatzaka shelcha is nothing. There's no value. It's not necessary.
Not necessary. It's,
it, Matis Akelai, ma, but there's nothing there.
There's nothing in the prayer? There's nothing to worry about. That's a different idea. All right. So we hear, generally, sometimes we want Hashem not to answer the prayer because this collateral damage. The collateral damage can be so great. It may be a blessing for us, but it's not a blessing for other people. That's the curse of this world. This collateral damage, no matter how you look at it, no matter how you look at it. But this pasuk is an incredible revelation. There's going to be such unusual hashkocha pratis that Hashem will be able to bring laser-guided blessing for you and have no effect on your next-door neighbor in ways that to us today is inconceivable. And likewise, punishment as well. It can bring punishment upon a person that has absolutely no effect on his next-door neighbor. And the illustration for this principle is rain. When it rains, there's no such thing that it only rains on Coney Island and Avenue L. That's the only place where it rains. But on East 16th Street, it doesn't rain. It's ridiculous. It's a joke. It's not the way the world works. But it will work like that. And not only will it work like that, even on your front lawn, if there's one particular blade of grass that needs rain, Hashem will dispatch a cloud just to deliver some moisture to that particular blade of grass. There's no collateral damage, and this pasuk is the makar for that principle. Because here it says the word ish, and ish is a very powerful word. It means unusual hashkocha pratis. And now we can appreciate the Megillas Esther. It's a hashkocha, but hashkocha, that we're learning this, Erev Purim. Because what does it say in Purim? What is the first pasuk that we all break out, we call the psuke geula, they're called. There are four pesukim which we raise our voices. We all recite. Ish Yehudi Hoya Bishushan Habir Ushma Mordechai Ben Yair Ben Kish Ish Yemini. What's the word Ish Yehudi? What would have been, Mark, if the pasuk would have said Yehudi Hoya Bishushan Habira? What do you mean with Ish? The word Ish is redundant. You don't need. Of course, what was Mordechai? They brought him back from Mars. The rover landed on Mars. They found a guy there, and they sent him back. He's an ish. He's a human being. He's not an alien. What does that mean, ish? Of course, he's an ish. No, the answer is, we learn from this Chazal, ish means a yochid. It means an individual. It means the extreme element of hashkocha pratis. La'asilavai, a single blade of grass will get rain and no one else will be affected. A single blade of grass will not get rain. This unusual hashkocha paratis. What is the story of Purim all about? What is Purim all about? The most extreme degree of hashkocha paratis. How so many events that have absolutely nothing to do with one another all choreographed and came together to produce a magnificent result. Unrelated events, everything was in the right place, in the right time, all came together. Hashgacha pratis. Ish, cap in this pasuk, we are learning from Chazal, the word ish captures the hashgacha pratis. Mordechai was the hero of the Megillah who was instrumental in revealing to Klal Yisrael this extreme degree of Hashgacha Pratis, a Gilui, which is what we're learning now, is something that is borrowed from the times of Mashiach. In the times of Mashiach, there's going to be Motar for Yitein L'ish Esev Basodeh. That principle of the Ish Esev HaSodeh was borrowed from the future all the way back 2,000 years to Mordechai v'Esther B'Shushan HaBirah Ish Yehudi Haya b'shushan habira. Mordechai borrowed from this pasuk the ish to bring that hashkacha, his personality of in his leadership was to bring about a hakara that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is mashkiach ben acharakim, mashkiach b'chalonis and meitzitz min acharakim.
By the way, may I say something? Hamilah matar comes from matara, an aim.
Target. That's excellent.
Why, that's why there is Geshem. Geshem goes all over the place. Matar is for you and for you. And
bullseye. Excellent.
The matara is the target.
Excellent. There are two different terms for rain. The general rain, general smattering of rain all over the place, sloppy, but motar is target, matara, to hit the bullseye, target practice. Excellent. Excellent. Excellent.
Not in my house.
And then it goes further. Shalom Hashem motar beish mal kosh Hashem oseh chazidim umitar geshem yitin lohem. But then it says the mitar of Geshem emphasizes, not the Geshem, the mitar of Geshem. The mitar of Geshem will come to the specific person. The mitar of the Geshem that will be dispatched, but Hashem will just send exactly which part of the Geshem should go to this particular ish. There is extreme hashkacha pratis being presented here in this pasuk. And this is what the beauty of the Malbim. The Malbim brings this out in a very beautiful way. Now we come over here to the Targum. The Targum says, V'targum, you understand, she'olu min kodem Hashem mitra bi'idan l'kish, ask from Hashem rain, at the time of l'kish, Hashem aveid ruchin, Hashem will send winds. Okay, so only pointed this out, that the word over here, it will appear that the word chazizin, not like the Mitzvahs and Rashi, not like the Radak, not like them who said it was clouds or lightning. He learns it means wind. Chazizin means wind. Ruchin. Umechas mitra levnei enosha. Now he said the word umitar gehis translates, a very interesting translation. Umechas means to bring mitar. Umechas mitra levnei enosha. So he has two words for umitar geshem. Umechas means to descend. A descent of rain. Okay, let's see. For levnei enosha, for mankind. Limitan lehoin avura, to give to them. Lemechal, for eating. The isba, grass. Levira bechakla, for the animals in the field. So he's explaining over here, giving us some he's telling me to agree and disagree. And give Bayer. A lot over here is going on in the Targum. Number one, the grass. What's the purpose of the grass? So I don't know. Until now, we just say, oh, it looks nice. You have a nice lawn. Yeah, we have something for the gardener to do. I have a nice lawn on your front lawn. That's not what it means over here. According to the Targum, says the grass is for the animals. Your animals need what to eat. Your animals need food so they can become fat, so you can slaughter them and eat their meat, or they can produce for you milk or provide carbon emissions for this world. They can do something for you, the animals, whatever they're going to do for you. The animals need food. The animals need food, and that's the purpose of the grass. But when he says the word ish, it would appear that he holds, the Targum seems to hold that the word ish is the collective noun. Ish does not mean here an individual, it means mankind. Mankind. Now that's unusual, because if we're referring to mankind, we would say Adam. You would then expect the pasuk to say Le Adam Esav Basodeh. When you say the word Ish, it usually means a single person, because there's something called an Ish, and there is Anoshim. There's a Lashon Yochid, a Lashon Rabim. But that's not Shakasha, like we learned the last 2 days in the afternoon about this week's parasha, V'yatot etzaves v'yichuy lecha shem en zayzach kosis lama lahalis ner tamid. There's a ner, and there are neros. How many candles are there in the menorah? There are seven candles. So why does the pasuk say lahalis ner tamid? Not so simple. So in fact, I think the Ibn Ezra, we learned, says The pasuk doesn't mean light all seven candles. It means just light the ner ma'aravi, one candle. However, Rashi and the Unkelis do not like that. They say ner is the collective noun. The collective noun. Excuse me, if it means the collective noun, so you can play around with these fancy words, collective noun, when you're dealing with the word Adam. Because there's only one word. There's no such thing as a plural and a singular. It's Adam. Adam can mean a yachid, can mean mankind. There you'll tell me it means the collective noun. But we have a word, ner. If you want to say it means the Lashon Rabbim, so say it. Don't beat around the bush. Say neros. Why does it say the word ner? All right. Unkelis doesn't hold to be a problem. Ner means the butzinaya. Butzinaya means a candelabra, means many candles. Here is the same thing. It says the word ish. Don't chap me on diktuk. Don't chap me on diktuk that it should have said over here anoshim. Doesn't matter. Or it should have said adam. No, so it says the word ish. Maskil. You're chapping me on diktuk? So it says ish. Doesn't matter. It means mankind. That's what the Targum says. I'm not making this up. Look over in the Targum.
Well, yeah, Al Kenyaz of Ish, I saw Vivia Silo. It doesn't mean Adam.
It means mankind.
Mankind.
Each person of mankind. There, I don't know. There's more of a focus on the individual. All right, whatever. Over here it says, look back in the words of the Targum. Take the Targum, Yonasan, Shalom, and Kadamasha Mitra, Be'idan, Likish. At the time of Lakish Hashem Ovid Ruchin. So Chiddush number one is the word, it means wind. Zizin means the word chazizin means wind. That's Chiddush number one. Next, it says Umechas Umaches Mitra. It would seem that the word mitar means a descent. Something that descends. Rav Kalman says it means matara, means a target. Over here, the Targum, I don't know. I'm not sure what I'm saying. He takes these two words. Umaches means to bring a descent of rain upon this world. Does that mean that the Targum holds the word matar means something which comes down? And what comes down? There are many things that come down. Airplane parts can come down from the sky if you're in the wrong place. Right? You saw those videos of they're sitting and they're watching that airplane. Baruch Hashem, no one got hurt. The airplane, that its engine came apart in the middle of flight, and there's a family, there's a video going around, there's a family sitting at a nice little picnic, and wow, look at that, look what's coming out of the sky. And then the first piece falls, I think maybe we should run for cover. It's not normal that massive chunks of metal fall out of the sky. There are many things that come raining down from the sky. Asteroids, airplane parts, space shuttles. Okay, they're all crazy things. Rain, borod, dew, tal. Lots of stuff comes out of the sky. Superman comes down from the sky also in the cartoons. A lot of things come out of the sky. The word mitar, it would appear according to the Targum, just means an object that descends from the heaven, from the heavens. Well, what is this object? Is it airplane parts or is it rain? Oh, umitar geshem. Rain is descending from the heaven. That's not what we learned in the Radak. The Radak says it means target practice. It means targeted rain. Geshem also means water. H2O, but it has an address. It has a laser. It has a laser guided, it has a guidance system. Matar is rain that does not, it's not sophisticated, does not have a guidance system. Geshem are drops of rain that have built into them a guidance system. Next, Levnei Enoshon, Chiddush number three was for mankind. Ish means mankind. Limitan Lochain, to give them u avura on their behalf. Lemechal, to eat. Where did it say eating? Litin lohem, I guess it means lohem, means for food for man. And then Chiddush number four is the isba levira bechakla, grass for the animals roaming around the fields. For at least four major chidushim burst out of these few words in the Targum after you appreciate what mitsuda is, what Rashi and the Radak said, now you appreciate the Targum, four massive chidushim that would otherwise gone unknown. Wind, number one. Two, something that descends. Number three, ish means mankind. And number four, the purpose of the grass is so that your animals have what to eat. They also need mishloach manos, the animals. Okay, pasuk beis kiyat rafim, another few minutes, kiyat rafim. Now Zechariah is coming to blast his predecessors, the phonies, the four categories of phonies that live in this world. And the first one of the trafim, oz yakiru kiyat rafim, yidibu oven ki yiru ki hanuvu ois, sha'amu nivi ha'emes niskaimu, hara ois niskaimu b'churban ha'aretz. And what is this middle? You're going to see that the ki hatrafim dibu oven. Okay, the trafim, he's not really elaborating upon the precise meaning of all of these four items. And he's just giving us a general description. That will become clear in these times that all of these people in the past were a bunch of liars. They were phonies and they were mole sheker. The people that you believed in, who gave you advice, they took you down a path of harm. You'll see the prophecy, and on the other end, but the prophets of the true prophets, they all came true. Now he's coming to elaborate a little bit more. Bale hatrafim show you mas imo some kind of urban orets for chain ha kosmim the diviners univi a sheker bechalom I say him how you I mean the lachem they would say to them koidem a urban shalom yelachem these false again the kosmim the diviners the people that use terafim I don't know what this is some type of mummy that speaks and that people have these false dreams they all led you down a path of urban when they told you don't worry shalom yelachem. Now, see, he's saying something a little bit different. I told you yesterday there are four categories. Okay, four categories. They are the trafim, they are the kosmim, they are the chaloimois, hashav. And I told you yesterday, I suggested, maybe I'm not sure that I was wrong, there's a fourth category. And that are the people, hevel yinachemun. There are people that give you comfort. It's a whole different category. People that give you false comfort. They look back at the past and they tell you there was nothing you could have done about this. Don't worry. It's min hashamayim. It's min hashamayim to suffer. It's min hashamayim to die. It was min hashamayim to get corona and have all these problems. They look back. It's a natural event. It could have happened. Natural event.
The person is neglectful.
So they tell you this. Those people that tell you this, I told you that's a fourth category. And here Zechariah is coming to say these people are wicked as can possibly be. Because if you go back and you go back, you know, there's a lot of evidence coming out now, if you pay attention to the news, that corona is not a natural disease. Until now, the whole year, no one's really talking about this. But now, this is not a conspiracy theory, okay? There's a lot of stuff about this. Read up on this. It's coming up more and more. What is this whole thing about? So people that will just say, listen, a pandemic, no, it happens every 100 years, whatever it is. There are natural diseases, animals, it crosses over. Was this thing that got out to the world, it's certainly a disease, but was it manipulated where it can become contagious? You know, in the year 2012 was the first time, this is all public knowledge, in the year 2012, there were three people that had corona, and they died. And when they were in the hospital, no one got it. They were in contact with a lot of people. They're the first known people with corona that we have to this, the corona COVID, we call COVID-19, is really goes back to 12, the year 2012. It's a fact. The first record of this disease is 2012. Three people in China who died, dead, after a period of, and they were in contact with a lot of people, and no one got it. How come now it is so contagious? Oh, mutated. Okay, mutated. According to what I've read, and go look this up, the chances of the mutation going to such a to mutate to in a fashion where it becomes contagious, you can win the Powerball lottery a lot faster than this happening. And this type of mutation, is this a conspiracy theory that you'll shoot me down for opening my mouth and saying such a thing? Or is there a kernel of truth to this? Who knows? But people that will just dismiss it and not make an investigation, launch an investigation to discover the true origins and to know the MS, and will say to you, it's natural. This is what it means, Hevel Yinachameinon. And that's very dangerous, because when you have that attitude, what's going to happen tomorrow? There'll be more manipulation. If you don't learn from the past, how are you going to prepare for the future? And that's exactly what these people do. The people who suffered the terrible averos, and they suffered, and people, listen, it's natural. It's natural. And they tell you that your sins is not what has caused this suffering to come upon you. So, we did nothing wrong. So therefore, let's continue to do whatever we were doing until now. Let's continue to do the same averos. That's very dangerous, because when you're not going to learn from the past, then you have no way to prepare for the future. So I understood when we learned this pasuk that there is a category of people, and there definitely are, who give you false comfort. When you look back at tragedy and suffering, and you say, there's nothing we could have done. We could not have done this any better. Study what happened the last year. Knowing now what we know, how would we have dealt with, what would we have done different if we go back 1 year ago, if we can turn back the clock with all of the knowledge we have today, how would we have dealt with the situation exactly 1 year ago? So you'd be shocked to know there are many people out there, many religious people, that will say to you, nothing. It's beshert. There's nothing we could have done. We would not have done anything different. Those people in my eyes are Hevel Yinachameinon. These people are very evil. They're telling you not to learn from the past to prepare for the future. Hevel Yinachameinon. These are very
fatalistic attitude, right?
True, right. That's a terrible thing. And you want to expand that into the religious world, where a person suffers, maybe we were not, there were things that we should have been more careful in regard to our religious life. Now today, obviously, no one can tell you the reason why something happened was because you're talking during that. That's total baloney nonsense. On steroids to say, it's because you did this aver, you talked during davening, sneers, the internet. That's crazy, because no one came back from the next world to tell us the reasons. But there are definitely things that we know need improvement. And as anyway we should be doing these things, and anyway there are things that we should look back. So someone that tells you that, no, you didn't do any averus, that's a form of Hevel Yinachameinon. That's how I understood the pasuk when we learned it originally. I have no doubt we'll find sources for that. But the Radak is not saying that. The Radak is saying there are only three categories of evildoers in this pasuk. There are the Trafim, there are the Kaismim, and there are the Chalaimais Hashav. And the words Hevel Yinachameinon is going back on all three, and is telling you the common denominator of the three presented in the beginning of the pasuk. What is the common denominator? They are all giving you comfort going forward. Okay, the three people in the beginning of the pasuk are all people looking forward, going ahead in time. The Kaismim is predicting the future. The Chalaimais, dreams, that's the future. And the Trafim, these are... And here it's very interesting. There's a lot of truth to this. Nechama, what does Nechama really mean? Ki nichamti asher osisi. The word Nechama is an extremely difficult word to translate. The simplest in translation of the word Nechama is to put you at rest from the past, to provide closure. The word Nechama, in the simplest translation, the simplest association, word association of the word comfort, means something terrible happened, something happened, and we have to take that tragedy and bring closure. It's over, finished. And now you're on your own. You're on your own. You on your own can go forward. But there's another approach to Nechama, where no, Nechama is not about closure. It's about creating a new plan for the future. A plan for the future. It's nothing really to do with the past. The people over here, these fakers who are predicting the future, they're diviners, trafim, they're dreamers. They're giving you nechama. According to the Radak, what does it mean they're giving you nechama? They're telling you about the future. That's right. Nechama means, I got a great plan, what we're going to do in the future. And that provides you with peace, serenity, knowing how to go forward. So nechama doesn't necessarily mean closure from a tragedy in the past. Nechama has nothing to do with the past. Right now, we got a problem. What are we going to do about it? I got a plan like none other. Oh, I like the plan. Let's go for it. Now I can get some sleep. I don't have digas at night. We got a plan. It purely relates to the future. And you see that according to the way the Radak learns this pasuk, that's what it's saying over here. These people who are predicting the future, they're giving you a plan of action for the future. But the problem is the plan of action they're giving you is a rotten plan. It's going to destroy you. You don't know it. They know it. And Hashem knows it. But they're giving you a rotten plan for the future. So when your person goes to an oven, you say, Hamakom yinachem eschem, what are you saying to him? What are you really saying to the person? Ask the average fellow when they say, Hamakom yinachem eschem, what are you really trying to say to the fellow that is in a lot of pain? Are you saying to him, you know, you're in a lot of pain, you should have closure. Forget about what happened, you know, put it aside. The person passed away. It was a wonderful time in your life. You had that relative. Okay, that time in your life has come to an end. And the pain should not affect you. There's a new tekufa in your life now. And let's take the old tekufa of the past. Let's package it up. And let's look at the good, the memories live on, and the pleasure. Everything you are today is from that past. And let's package it up with a nice ribbon, a nice wrapping paper, and a ribbon, and a cherry on the top. And that's it. You get it from Shiva, and now, you go, you do what you got to do in this world. Or is the pshat hamokim yinachem eschem means, the pain that you have will be with you forever. Let's be realistic. You lost someone that you love. It's never going to go away. But let's try to find the plan going forward where you can be productive, even though you carry within you this void, this loss. I'm not here to go take away, to give you a blessing that we should take away your pain. Can't take away the pain. The pain's going to be, that's the way life is. But the pain should not prevent you from going forward. Let's figure out a plan how to go forward with the tzara that you have in front of you. Now you're missing a person in your life who provided a certain degree of service, maybe, or provided for you guidance, hadroch in life. Okay, that problem is a problem, it's not. But we have to find a replacement, someone else to give you guidance, a new approach, a new source of support. What is nechama? It's both. It really is both. There are elements, both of these elements are in Nechama. There's a Nechama of the past, a Nechama in the future. Okay, the ultimate Nechama is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem says, Ki nicham de ki asisi, after the story of Noach. And there also, there's an element of both. Can't deny the fact that we come from Maisa Bereishis, just because the Kadosh Baruch Hu started the world over again, we still say every single Shabbos, Zecher l'masa Bereishis. We don't package up the world. The world never existed. There's not a new Maisa Bereishis starting with Noach. When Hashem says Ki nicham de ki asisi, doesn't mean I regret. What does it mean in that kind? What does it mean in that context? You want to say it means you cut off the past. There are two elements in the Chama. There is closure from the past, and then there is just the opposite. There is no closure. Don't be foolish. There is no closure. But we have to recalibrate our plan, our guidance systems going further into the future. Here, that's really the difference of opinion over here and how you translate this word over here, kinichamti. According to the Radak, this term is referring back to the three people who are referring to the future. They gave you a bad plan. The future. But on the other hand, I'm trying to suggest to you, and there's someone here that says what I say, and that is there's a fourth category of people who are giving you closure from the past in a way that's very damaging to you, telling you not to reflect about the past and not to learn from your mistakes. Let's finish up over here. They went into exile. They ran away. Yanu ki ein royanu ki ein roya. Yanu yikon. They were humbled, humiliated, because there's no shepherd. There is no Jewish leadership. V'chein umei ha'moinam lo ya'aneh. V'hadayim lochem inyin kiniyah. You understand? Taking geloy arei les melech. You see, he says there's no king. There is the reason why they went into exile was because there was no king. What do you mean there's no king? There were kings. What do you mean there was no king? There was Tzidkiyahu. There was after Yoshiyahu, there were three kings. Ichonia, Yehoyakim, Tzidkiyahu. What do you mean there was no king? Weak leadership. Leadership that's weak. Today, do we have leadership today? So it's a pretty sad thing. That's why you went into Golus. They have no leadership. Okay, that ends the section. Here, La'asalava, there's the Melech HaMashiach. Strong leadership. Okay, Lahavdil Elif Alfi Avdolais. Trump versus Biden, whoever you like or not, whoever side of the fence you're on, is a very different style. Someone who tweets in the middle of the night nonstop, telling you his daya, antagonizing all of his enemies versus a person who's sound asleep in the middle of the night. Maybe it's better. It's quiet. You don't have to worry. If you get up in the middle of the night now, 3 o'clock, you don't have to check your smartphone. Maybe there was a new tweet from the president. Maybe he started World War III. President sound asleep now. Maybe that's good. Maybe that's a blessing. Maybe that's a blessing. Hashem is running the world. Leiv melachim b'yad Hashem. Okay, so we don't know anything. We know nothing. But there's a different style of leadership. And the Pasuk here is telling us we need strong leadership in Klal Yisrael, whatever that means. Whatever that can possibly mean, it means. Okay, we'll take a short break. We'll come back. We'll learn more in Yanim of Purim. Today I want to go through Halacha. I want to run to the Seder Hayoim, really the Seder Halayla, and mainly focus on Mikra Megillah and a little bit of Tainus Esther in a few moments. See you soon.